Welcome back for another episode of Clean Tech Talk, where we at Clean Technica interview clean tech leaders from around the world. With topics ranging from electric cars to climate change communication, you can listen to our full podcast series by visiting our website at cleantechnica.com.
Want to drive a new electric car but can't afford it? We can help. A new online raffle lets you win your EV dream car all while helping the planet. Visit evraffle.org to win a Tesla, Rivian, or a Lucid Air with 500-mile battery. CCAN Action Fund uses all proceeds to promote clean energy. That's evraffle.org.
We're here for another episode of Clean Tech Talk. I'm Zach Shahan, CEO of Clean Technica, and joining us today are Luz Karim, an electronic engineer at ABB eMobility, and Pam Langley, Service Key Account Manager at ABB eMobility. To start with, I just want to get a little bit more what we normally do, try to find out where you come from, how you got into the e-mobility space, how you got to ABB more specifically. Let's start with Pam, since you're on my left here. Pam, what got you into this field, this industry in general, and then what brought you to ABB eMobility specifically?
Yeah, so after graduating, I have a pretty generic business administration degree and eventually found my way to an electric utility, so the energy industry, after being in, you know, others like healthcare and IT, and spent 8 years at that company. Eventually, this sort of nascent thing started developing where EVs were reaching, you know, my corner of the world, which is northern Minnesota, a lot slower than some of the other coastal cities and whatnot. And position became open where I could work on program development and do things with our customers that were EV drivers. That was very interesting to me. And I just sort of got to make it what I wanted and dove in and worked on different rate offerings and tried to come up with things like incentives and purchase an electric vehicle fleet for our employees. And I really, really liked it. Eventually, my position was restructured and I was doing a certain other type of account management with large customers. So that bled into what I'm doing now. I saw a position of account management open at ABB eMobility. I really wanted to get back into the EV space. And it sort of married up what I have been doing for, you know, the better part of the last decade. And I was excited to get an offer and haven't looked back.
It's exciting. And sounds, yeah, like, I feel like it's a very exciting industry to be in right now. It's a very exciting, you know, moment. It's historical. We have, you know, the EV revolution is the popular metaphor we like to use. Does it feel like the most vibrant, exciting industry that you've been in so far, or is it comparable to some of the other work at utilities or elsewhere that you've done?
Yeah, the energy industry as a whole is just sort of going through a renaissance right now because of all of the investments and change in the grid, and, you know, all of the technology that's coming and happening. And EVs is one of, you know, the subcategories of that just feels like it's been completely put on steroids. So it is a very different environment to be working in the private sector for a manufacturer, especially one as, you know, relevant and well known as ABB. And I love it. It's really exciting. It's also really challenging a lot of days being in a new developing. I mean, it's not necessarily that new, but it is still in the scheme of a lot of industries quite a baby. So it has its challenge, but it always keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. And ABB is huge. I mean, I think it was like 10 years ago where we sort of listed it as one of like three or five clean tech giants, because it's just got its arms in everything. Clean tech is hugely, you know, global and, you know, very deep in the industries. Yeah. So let's switch to Luz. Luz, how did you get to find your way in the e-mobility industry? How'd you navigate your way to the e-mobility industry? And then, you know, more specifically, how'd you end up with ABB in that role, in that space?
Well, I arrived here. Like, actually, it's a very funny story. I arrived here to the United States like 5 years ago. And I remember the first car that I purchased was a Nissan Leaf. And I was so fascinated with the industry that I set as a goal, like I want to work in this kind of technology.
That's fair. Were you in like tech in some way before that? I mean,
yes, I was working, but I was in the network side, so just like networking. But I seen the industry here, like how the electrical vehicles start to like move and grow the business around the United States, and how they work. So that fascinated me. So like I need to work on this. Like I just was so attracted to this industry and to the technology. So I started my job in a company. I started actually in the EV sector 4 years ago. And I love it. It's the best decision I made, honestly. It's just so fascinating and it's challenging and it's so nice because it's growing and growing. So you have a lot of different goals, a lot of different challenges every day and new things to learn and new technology. So that makes it like so exciting. Like it's different and changed all the time.
And where did you move from? And you said it was 5 years ago or?
Yes, 5 years ago, I moved to the United States and I started my job in the EV sector like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And where did you move from? What country?
Colombia.
Oh, Colombia. We have to talk separately, but you know, my best friend in college, it was my favorite soccer team when I was a kid, when Aspria and Valderrama were football stars. And
the classics.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Valderrama ended up coming and playing for the Tampa Bay Mutiny when the MLS started the first year of the U.S. Soccer League. And we don't need to go down the road, but I've always had a big connection to Colombia and loved Colombia. So that's exciting. And I mean, they've got actually, the South American market is a really fascinating market right now for e-mobility. We might get to that topic as well. That's exciting. And I think, you know, you sound like the exact profile of an early EV adopter. Of one of our early, you know, readers reading about the Leaf, getting excited, except there's one, you know, bit of a notable difference. You know, we have quite a diverse staff. We have a lot of women writers and on our team, but historically it's been a field that's dominated by men. And we had, you know, reader surveys and we've seen so much data on it. We had like, you know, 90% or more of our readers would be men on these topics. And you know, you just saw that was sort of standard. So how was it, you know, sticking with Luz for a moment, how was it for you? Like kind of, did you must have noticed this as well. How do you feel in that kind of, you know, being in the e-mobility space from a pretty early stage and then, you know, noticing these things and sort of, you know, fitting in how you do? Was it?
Well, I think from the beginning, I choose a career that is like very dominated for men. Just from the university, we were like just two women and 35 guys. So like I'm being used to like this kind of gap between the genders. But actually it's exciting because like it's challenging for me to show my capacities, my abilities, my skills, and how the guys seem like, oh wow, like she can keep up with us. So that is really interesting. That makes it like actually like exciting.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, it's, of course, you're going to deal with prejudices in this kind of situation where there's a big imbalance. But at the same time, a lot of people, when they're like, oh, she's into this too, you know, they get excited. It's like, oh, let's chat, you know, let's talk, you know. And it's nice to have, especially, you know, it, like you said, it's a kind of newish, you know, fast developing field with a renaissance or evolution, however you want to frame it. And people like that, I think, tend to be more interested in learning and growing. And probably it's been a lot of fun as well. Pam, what about from your case? Does anything strike you in this kind of gender in tech in general, you have this issue. In clean tech, you have this issue. In EVs, you have this issue. So it's sort of like, you know, there's the Russian dolls issue with this. But I feel like e-mobility is sort of expanding, you know, getting more diverse, getting more balanced quicker than some of the other ones. But Pam, what's your perspective on that? How have you experienced it?
Yeah, I feel like it's been made more of a priority, and my role specifically certainly doesn't, I mean, it requires certain background and experience, but not necessarily a specific degree. Like Luz had to go through a lot of very specific training to be able to be safe and knowledgeable And mine is a combination of a lot of soft skills because I'm dealing with customers and escalations. And I definitely generally am underestimated, especially when I'm meeting a customer for the first time. And unfortunately, that's usually, it's not always, I don't have the opportunity to meet a customer on good neutral ground and just be introducing myself. You know, my role is new. It's sort of a catch up to, there's so many more customers than there ever were. And now we really need to start taking a different level of care as accounts are growing and things like that. So I feel like you do have to prove yourself as a woman. And I don't need to be super technical. I need to know just enough to be able to translate what's going on in the situation and almost act as a project manager sometimes to ensure that we're following through and finding a resolution, which can be really difficult with the amount of parties that are involved at a single charging site, whether it's an installer, the customer, a vehicle OEM, the OCPP software provider, our chargers. So it ends up being just a lot about the conversation and being able to draw out the important details and not necessarily get lost in the details to move things forward. And I do feel like sometimes women are better listeners. Not to gender stereotype.
That's fine. No, I was thinking it so you can say it. No. It is really like kind of, because it's such a techie thing too, you just, techie people tend to just get a little bit more stuck in a technical weed sometimes, right?
Absolutely. Which is, has its time and place. Generally, it's not with 20 people on a Zoom call.
Yeah. Well, I've always said, you know, that I'm not a tech guy. I'm not a do-it-yourself tech person. I don't have any real strong tech background. I have a sociology degree, environmental studies, and city planning. And I sort of got pushed into this position writing on CleanTechnica 15 or so years ago. And then I got pushed into running CleanTechnica like 14 years ago, like not long after. And because I didn't have that sort of tech, wasn't a typical tech person, I always saw my role as kind of translating, trying to understand the tech and then translate it into stuff that was more understandable for normal people and more in, you know, had a kind of mass appeal. So that's sort of always been our role. So I think I relate to you probably a bit, you know, a different situation, but you know, you're dealing with escalations. I've moderated, I don't know how many thousands of comment threads, and it can be, I feel like that's what would be a similar thing of what you are dealing with. But could you explain a little bit more, you know, what is the role of a service key account manager? And is it, are you in a certain geography, or are you, what's your geographical area, and what kind of things do you deal with in that role?
Yeah, so I currently focus on segments. So right now it's transit, primarily public transportation. So mostly larger metropolitan areas, and I do cover the whole country. And then I do have a couple of fleet, so large, heavy truck type customers. And I am sort of the liaison to any sort of resource in the company that a customer might need. So if they're, the most primary thing that people are reaching out to me about is if something goes wrong with their charging, and then trying to figure out, okay, what sort of a skill set do we need here? It always starts with our remote team looking into what's going on with an asset. And then it might end up with, you know, someone like Lou is going and visiting the site and making a hardware repair or doing some sort of update on it. And then when it goes beyond that is when it gets a little trickier, because it might need our, you know, research and development team to perform some interoperability testing with a vehicle OEM that released a new software that they hadn't tested, or there might be some sort of an OCPP that, you know, there might just be like some sort of a software communication issue, and that you know, requires our software team from our global group to get in there and write a patch or something. So it really depends, but a lot of it ends up being service related. And then beyond that, I'm always trying to educate customers that if they don't have a service level agreement or a maintenance plan or you know, what are they going to do after the warranty ends, working with turning them over to our sales team to uncover what is going to be the best fit for them in order to keep a good uptime.
But you've got to really like figure out, try to quickly figure out what's going on, where the problem is. You've got to have a kind of sounds like the ability to quickly get to an issue and understand an issue without, you know, spending too much time trying to figure it out, right? I mean, you got to be
And generally our team is the one that is doing that activity. So it's really quickly tossed over to them, and they do an amazing job at just being able to troubleshoot something. And I would say 80% of the time, it's fairly obvious. They can figure out if it needs parts or just something done remotely with software settings. And then there's a 10% beyond that. And then there's like a 5% beyond that where it's a really difficult issue that might take us a while to uncover, where we're trying to get all parties involved and get collaboration going and all work together to figure out what the issue is.
It's quite interesting and hugely critical. We've interviewed other people, including ABB e-mobility people on the call, about how important this part of the work is and how, you know, sort of improving this part of the work is critical, especially in the context of the NEVI program, NEVI requirements. With OCPP, I should remember, I don't remember now, it's Charge Point Protocol, yes. And a very famous person in the industry, well, we'll just say Elon Musk once was, when he was focused on EVs more than all these other crazy topics that we're not going to go down what his current interests are, because that would be a whole different show. But but when he was EV focused a little bit more, he made the tweet once of like, are you down with OCPP? You know, because I don't know, I grew up with the, you know, in that time when there was that popular song, are you down with OPP?
Yeah.
And so I think for a lot of us, I mean, that sort of comes to mind when you see that and sometimes slips out. Are you down with OPP?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know me.
No, yep, exactly.
We're going to get a copyright infringement. Luckily, I'm not good enough. So
there might be times where we're talking about OCPP and sing that song and make jokes about it.
Oh, you have to. That's great to hear. Making it fun. Yeah. Luz, what exactly then are you involved in? What's your role in all of that? And are you one of the people Pam is going to for these kind of like, Luz, I've got an issue. Okay. Yes. Yes. Very much.
Well, I am field service engineer, so I receive different cases. My area is in Arizona. So we are like a team of 25 field service engineers right now. So we are located in different areas and we receive like the different tasks, like is repair, commission, installation, verification of different chargers and different levels of charger, because it's different type of chargers and industries. So practically I go just around where it's needed, like for repairs, to analyze what is going on with the charger, to maintain the charger, to commission a new charger. So verify that all the installations are proper, that the customer is happy and know how the machine is going to work, the capacities, like all of that. So I go around all, not just Arizona, actually, sometimes around United States, just repairing and commissioning. And that's like practically my job. Like with the different customers that ABB have, we made the visit, we verify what is going on with the charger and just be that service person that keep the chargers working and the industry like working.
So sometimes you get there and you're like, what is going down with OCPP right now? But are you aware of this? Did you have this song in Colombia growing up as well?
No, actually, because that's completely, I think,
but you've learned about it since.
Yeah. So now it's like different. Now I've been learning a lot about it. But now that I'm here in the United States, because like it's in technology, it's just like different.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Europe for a long time, and you know, a lot of the, you know, music and entertainment in Europe is from the US, but there's definitely some things that transfer and get over there, and some things that don't, you know. Sort of the most famous case is like the TV show Friends is hugely popular in Europe, but almost nobody knows Seinfeld. And if you're in the US at the time, Seinfeld was like, they were neck and neck for what's more I mean, I think Seinfeld was even more popular. But I imagine that's the kind of song that might be a bit more might be a bit more US culture centric than but it was huge, I'm sure they told you. Yeah, so just in general, just like stepping back, one thing I found over the years in the EV space, e-mobility space, and then clean tech more broadly, is that one of the huge kind of challenges or bottlenecks for growth is the people, is the personnel, is having the, you know, being able to hire enough people month after month, year after year, to keep up with the growth. And, you know, the companies sort of are fighting over, you know, top people, you know, poaching or just, you know, competing for the top graduates. But in general, just even some segments like electricians, like there's just not enough electricians for everything that's needed in the growing, these growing spaces in some markets. How have you seen that? And how have you experienced that in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years that you guys, that you two have been working in this field? Have you noticed it? Have you noticed it getting more difficult? And then even going into the NEVI program, which is supposed to stimulate a lot more growth, do you see it as becoming a bigger issue now with, you know, just the faster growing EV market and NEVI program? And I should pick, I guess we'll start with Pam here.
Yeah, I feel like that is not even unique to our industry right now. Just everyone is experiencing, you know, labor and talent shortages, but especially since this is so new.
Yeah, we should say the unemployment rate is very low right now. So
yeah.
Generally speaking, there's a lot of competition in the economy for workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel very fortunate to work for a company that is well resourced and attract, you know, some of the best talent out there. It definitely makes it a lot easier, as well as it also has a good culture, and that both of those things just together make it so much easier to ensure that we are getting good people in the door. And even with that being said, having the position openings and the, you know, salaries and wages to attract people and everything about it, it still just takes time. And you want to, you know, hire slow, make good decisions, and find people that are going to be a good fit. And that goes for any type of role. Mine specifically, it's always a challenge. We have a diverse team, and some of us are much more focused on hard skills and a little bit more technical. And some of us are more focused on soft skills and being able to deal with, you know, whether it's just more difficult customer conversations or being more strategic in how we're handling our accounts and growing a relationship and partnerships with customers versus, you know, Luz, which she'll talk more about, but getting in and being able to know that you're going to be traveling and you're going to be on the road and you're very autonomous once you get up and running on your own. You have a team that you can rely on and be able to share information. But yeah, I don't want to take her thunder. So
yeah, go ahead, Luz. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's definitely challenging as a field service engineer, because it's a lot of demand for like service job, for the new installation, because the industry is growing like so fast that demands a lot of field service engineers there ready to work and be able to provide the service to the different stations. So it's challenging, but I think, and I consider it that it's a good opportunity for a lot of women to get into the field, because I think like just need for you to want to learn about the industry, to have like some knowledge about like what is the capacitation, your certifications about like electricity, like how to handle different machines. But it's like not, I think it's a good opportunity for growth, just because the industry is growing like so fast. So it's a big room for you to move around the area, because I feel like ABB is just so open to create the position necessary to make work the industry. And I think that is a really good part of work for ABB. And I think it's a good opportunity for a lot of people that want to maybe join to this field, like to take over now that it's like the needed and the demand of field service engineer. So I think it's a big opportunity there. And I think it's great for women that want to join to this industry to take that shot.
Yeah, I was going to ask something else, but I'll jump to this question. So, you know, one of the effects of the NEVI funding program, and, you know, this is a national federal U.S. government electric vehicle funding program for charging infrastructure, is this 97% uptime requirement. And one of the things that has sort of been a difficulty in the EV space, as it's been very young, is, yeah, EV charging station reliability, uptime. And so this 97% requirement puts a bit more pressure on companies, and, you know, I'm sure creates a lot more demand for technical and service workforce in the industry, and, you know, to an extent that we maybe have never seen before. I guess probably have definitely never seen before in the U.S. How can we capitalize on this opportunity to get more women into the field, make greater strides on diversity and equity, which we've really struggled with? It's been one of the, you know, most difficult aspects of this fast growing industry for me, especially, you know, I have a sociology background. This is what I spent years sort of having courses on, and it's like, it's always a bit frustrating. Like, we don't feel like we're making progress often. How can this opportunity sort of, you know, help us make more progress? We'll go back to Luz and then over to Pam again.
Well, I think that,
and I know you were just talking about this, so I'm like, she's like, I just told you. No, but I mean, I guess trying to nail down, like, how do you make the progress then? I mean, how do you reach these people?
I think, example, like, I've been seeing like a lot of women working in the remote support, and I think it'll be like a little scary to jump to the field because you need to move around, because you are like direct physical, putting your hands in like the machine, so that can be like intimidating for like some girls maybe. But I think it's just showing up as a woman, just to start with some women there, like I'm doing, and just letting know about what is the job that we do, like how we can do this, like how we have the ability to do this, like, because it's like, yes, I was in the side of the NOx support as well, and now that I am in there in the field, yes, like doing it myself, actually I feel better. Like, it's just like, it's like very challenging. Like, when you get the unit working and you fix the unit and have the system working properly, you feel like kind of satisfaction. It's a satisfaction, like it's a really good satisfaction. So it's just like, I can just let to know other girls, like how the work is, how you travel around, what the kind of job that you do on site. And just to have the normal precaution, like for the electricity that it should have, that is just through training, that is not like that long. Actually, something, I think it's something easy to get, like the certification, but because it's not like a long like time for studying, making like a full career for that, just like the training focusing how to service these chargers. So I think it's just letting know the industry, like women can do it as well. And I think that's one of the goals that I take personally, just to let you know, girls, like, okay, I'm field service engineer, I do this. And I talk with different friends, like, well, but it's not like difficult, like just be outside in weather and, you know, like put hands in electricity. That's not like risky. Like, actually, it's not that bad. It's really nice. And when you have the charger working, you feel that satisfaction that is like great.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's perfect. And it leads into my next question, but we're gonna go to Pam first, and then we'll go to that other question.
Yeah, I feel like just supporting other women and always trying to get them to recognize their own potential and things that whenever I see somebody do something, like compliment them on it and tell them that, hey, that's awesome that you were able to do that or figure that out, or the way you handled that conversation, or you're really technical, that could lend well to you growing into this sort of a role. And I recognize that that's just within our own company, but being at other industry events or trying to network, you know, whether it's on LinkedIn or at some sort of, you know, thing, even in my own community, I'm always pumping ABB out to people as like a great place to work. And now with the pandemic and sort of, you know, revolution of remote work, also bringing that to people's awareness that that's within reach where it previously wasn't. And I think there's so much investment in STEM for women and girls, which is amazing. And we just need to keep that going and make sure that we're creating a welcoming and equitable environment for us all to thrive in.
Yeah. And so, you know, as well, I said, not a super technical person myself. Yeah. The idea of working in the field and getting into the, you know, the wires and stuff is intimidating to me. And as you were talking about it, Luz, I was like getting like, I was getting much more like, I could get it. Yeah. You were giving me the pep talk on, and I was feeling like, I was feeling quite empowered. You know, I was like, yeah, this is doable, you know? So I feel like you're really good at that. Sounds like you're really good at breaking down those kind of inherent boundaries some of us might have. And I just wanted, you know, just talking about it, I guess, in the field a little bit more, made it a little easier to kind of, to picture and to visualize, to imagine. Can you give any, do you have any like specific stories, great stories that help to, that either are funny or just help to explain the work in a different way, just from an anecdote?
Actually, as women in the field, you can have like pretty funny experiences. One of them is actually in a place here in Arizona that is like, it's a lot of like old people that live there. So when they are right there, and it's a military base close there, so it's a lot of militaries and army guys that go there to charge vehicles. One day I was working in one of the chargers, and the guy come out of the car and he just looked at me and said, take the glasses, like, a woman doing service. Interesting. And like, yes. So he's like, wow. It's a lot of girls around there just fixing chargers. So like, well, I hope so. Yeah, like we are just taking over. So like, well, that sounds great. And what is the problem with the charger? So I told him like, what is going on with the charger? And we started to talk about cars. And he was just like, kind of surprised, making faces like, oh, I didn't know about cars, electrical vehicles. Okay. So he started to charge his vehicle. He said, like, oh, this charger was like break. Like I can hear like last week I was broken. He's like, yeah, I just repaired it. So like, you repair it? Like, yes. Oh, wow. So that like kind of surprised him, like a woman is repairing chargers.
Even like, after all of that talk, even after getting into the tech stuff, he's like, oh, you did it. Yeah.
You repair it? Like, yes, I do repair it. It's working. He's like, oh, wow. Okay, but they get surprised. And sometimes I work in a lady's pastor is like, oh, a girl, you go girl, like, nice. Seeing a technician girl working in this charger, like,
excited. Responded, oh yeah, I'm down with OCP.
Yeah. So it's like pretty exciting sometimes, like you find like that kind of like gesture from the men by looking you like, oh, it's a girl working here, okay. And they start to walk around and looking like what you're doing, like, are you repairing? Like, yes, I repaired the charger. Okay, thank you for the service. I'm like, no problem.
Yeah. And Pam, do you have any specific stories that kind of capture your work in a really good synopsis, or just are funny, a funny story that you've dealt with that you can share?
I don't have anything super specific. I think one of the most satisfying / cringy type things is when I get through something with a customer and they're very, you can tell that they don't have a lot of confidence in me that I will get to resolution, you know, or lead the team to resolution, because sometimes it's our internal folks, but we're also relying on, you know, partners that have no obligation to us, except we're all trying to make an end user's experience better and improve something. But getting through it and then having somebody give you a backhanded compliment, like, wow, for a woman, you're pretty good. Like, somebody said that to me once. I was like, thank you.
Well. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you love working at ABB and how you encourage, you know, talk up the company to other people. This is, you know, a European company at its core. I mean, it's got a strong, huge North American arm. And I think my first experience with ABB was they flew me from Europe to Nevada about 10 years ago for a solar installation project there. And, you know, the North American arm was huge, and it's like, it's its own big company. So I'm not saying, you know, this is completely a European company, of course, but, you know, having those European roots, European companies just take care of employees a bit more, you know, there's a bit more of a, oh, we're not trying to work you to the bone. We're trying to help you have a good career that, you know, supports a good life. And it's just, you know, it's a cultural thing that's a bit different. There's a lot more laws in Europe, of course, that require taking care of employees a bit more. But how is your experience at ABB? Do you feel like that kind of a little bit more of a European culture comes through in, or is it just, you know, you just enjoy the company, you like it, but it's like any other good large company that you've had experience with? It's not, doesn't stand out in any way like that to you?
Yeah, no, I would say ABB, you can definitely feel the European culture, and with our benefits and just the general attitude of people and how everybody interacts. I definitely get jealous of how much my European and even Canadian friends get to be on vacation a bit more, it seems like, and have a totally different approach to the way that they handle their work-life balance. And it honestly can be challenging at times, just because our culture doesn't have that patience and you know, talk through things with customers and plan better for it. And we're definitely developing a lot of our own resources in the North American market to be able to keep up with the growth that we have here. It's gotten a lot better, but just the general quality of the people that I work with has been somewhat surprising to me, because I've always known of ABB. We purchased, you know, different things when I worked at the electric utility that I was at. And I always did think of them as this behemoth of an organization, and really wondered, what am I going to lose by going to a company that big? And I can't speak to the rest of the organization, but e-mobility has much more of a tight-knit, almost startup. We're not a startup. We're one of the most established, you know, organizations in the EV industry, EV charging industry. But the people that are here are very passionate about what they do. And you have to be, because of all the challenges that go along with being in such a, you know, new and rapidly growing market. If you don't want to be here and you're not interested in learning about the technology and everything else that goes along with that, it shows. And, you know, yeah, that's why it's so great that everybody on our team cares so much and really wants to, you know, do the best thing and create the best experience and product.
Hello, listeners. I hope you're enjoying today's episode of Clean Tech Talk. My name is Scott, and I'm Zach's business partner here at Clean Technica. We know we're having a positive impact and helping the world move past fossil fuels, but I think we all know we need to move faster. We at Clean Technica want to accelerate the clean tech revolution, and we'd love your help. Could you chip in $5 or $10 a month? If that's within your budget, please check out cleantechnica.com/support. That's cleantechnica.com/support. Where you can sign up via PayPal or Patreon and make a monthly contribution. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and e-mobility is a huge arm of ABB, and I would have the same kind of questions and concerns, like, is this going to be too big of a corporate environment? Am I going to feel like just a cog in the wheel? But just from my experiences, you know, very limited outside working with e-mobility people at ABB, it does, you have a feeling of a kind of family, kind of community atmosphere that's quite... It's a bit different from what you might expect with, and maybe that comes from that kind of better work-life balance. I don't know. Luz, what's your experience in that regard?
Well, like in my field side, I don't feel like too much difference between like the American and European like protocols or environments. Maybe
people are like, Luz, just fix this as soon as possible, quickly, this is broken. It's
like, <doesn't> yeah, like the only thing like I could maybe feel like the European like environment is like with the metric, because everything is out there charging is like metric, so like different range that we use are metric, but that's all. Like I don't feel like too much like difference between the environments. ABB e-mobility is like a big industry and it's growing a lot as well, because the demand right now in the market, so it's like good to have the influence for like, and the help for the different, like, global with different issues, seeing how they are designing the new chargers and how we are getting, like, the different trainings to just take over in the field service. But yeah. Yeah, besides that,
extremely global. I mean, the origins are like Sweden and Switzerland for ABB, but you know, it's had a big presence all over the world for so long. It seems like ABB is always tapping its international experience. So, just as a final I think as a final question, what are the biggest challenges? We've talked about this throughout a bit, but what are the biggest challenges that you think women face while working in a male-dominated field like this? And maybe at the same time, how do you feel like your work at ABB has helped you to get around those challenges or just not have them face you at all, perhaps? We'll start with Luz on this one.
Okay, I think the big challenge as a woman in the field service is just like show the ability that we can be in the leadership. So just because I feel like
you're under pressure to prove your chops right away. You can't just assume, oh, someone's going to have trust that I know. You have to write at the start, like, show, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, you need to, like, really show them that I am in the same level. Like, okay, I have the skills. I know about this topic. I know what you're talking about. So you definitely need to show off your abilities, your skills, because we are, like, a little bit, like, in the where like, okay, the woman is too emotional, she don't want to do her job, like maybe she's going to be scared about, like, you know, going into a charger and handle electricity wires. But like, seeing like I am a top woman, yeah, I do this, I move this, and I work with this capacity, like blah, 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 and just get with them in the same spot, like follow up with them and keep up with them, like they are like, okay. So show the abilities is one of the, like, the challenging thing, like just show them like I am in the same spot, like I can have the same knowledge than them, that I can do the same kind of job. Just, I think that's the biggest challenge as a woman in the field service.
Fam?
Yeah, I think it's generally the hardest thing is a lot of times I am the only woman. So whether I'm going to a customer site or walking into an industrial setting or on a conference call, and always wanting to prove myself as well as be an advocate for kind of making everybody aware that yes, we belong here and we're capable and actually have a lot of strengths that we bring to the industry that, you know, wouldn't be there if we weren't participating and active in growing this, and wanting to make that not be the case in the future, you know, so that, you know, generations ahead of us can have a much more diverse experience and not have to go through that, whether that's as a woman or a minority or whatever it is. Like, everybody belongs in this industry. It impacts everyone equally as we're transitioning to this technology and creating that space.
Yeah, and I think it's, some people don't realize how much just representation, it's not about like just being fair. It's about, once you get used to other people with different backgrounds from you, whether it's gender or culture, in other ways, it just dissolves prejudices and just, you know, makes you not even think about it. You know, in our case, I think since I've been on Clean Technica, we've, about half of our main writers have been female, and I don't really think about it much in our team, because I mean, like, if I have a really technical car question, like I go to a female writer who's the most technical car person that I can think of often, without realizing that, oh, but she's a woman, or she's a woman, like she's the one who knows cars really well. And for someone else, you know, I go to, for some other question, I go to someone else, or for a sciencey kind of question, I'll go to a different person. But it's sort of, you know, you just get familiar with it and you don't stop thinking about this once you're used to a more balanced team or something. But it's still such a, I see it more when I go outside, you know, and you mm-hmm. realize, or in some physical big groups, if you go to any conferences, I'm sure this must strike you. I mean, if you go to any EV conferences, you're just like, wow, there's a lot of old white guys, old white men here, you know, or, you know, just men in general. But do you feel like it's changing in the past couple of years? Do you feel like it is getting more diverse as it becomes a more mass market industry, or you still feel like, oh, we got a lot of work to do, or both?
I feel like even within the, you know, specifically like manufacturing or software or whatever sort of company that goes into making a charging site possible. Absolutely. And it's sometimes even going into the segments that we're serving where you might see it more. So it's definitely changing. And I feel very fortunate to be able to be in the time and the, you know, space that I'm in as just far as career and where EV charging is going, but also just, you know, the year 2023, because I know that a lot of people worked really hard to create the environment that I'm in, and it's our responsibility to make it even better, you know, for the future.
That you actually stimulate this change and, you know, help inspire some of this change, right? Luz, yeah, any final comments on that? And then we'll wrap up.
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan. Like, it's the industry that I feel like is welcoming more women on the field and, like, just trying to have the people that is needed for the service, no, regardless of the gender. But I feel like, in my opinion, just being in ABB, I see how they are trying to include, like, more women on the field service as well. They're telling me, like, hey, did you know more girls that want to jump in the industry? Like, just let them know, like, let them know about how this works, just invite them to apply to the different positions that we have right now. And it feels nice how the environment that my area is trying to create, so like everybody can do the job if they just want to need the capacity and want to learn about this area. So I think it's like really nice to have that support, seeing how, like, example, like, they not used to have like that too much, like uniforms, like for the field service women, but now we have like a different selection for women in the area. So I think that's nice. That is, I feel inclusive because that
somebody realized, oh yeah, we need to make sure we have some more options. Yeah, that's funny. Well, I have two daughters, elementary school age, and, you know, it's something that, you know, comes up from time to time, and you think about these topics, but definitely it's always, there's nothing that beats having an inspiring, you know, woman to kind of reference, whether you're talking sports or technical stuff or any field. You know, Marvel, they're very into Marvel now, and you know, they love their, all of their superheroes, but, you know, it's great that there's, that it's not like, you know, that whenever you have representation, you can just see the impact it makes. And can see how it opens up. They're like, oh yeah, I could be that. I could be a superhero. It's like, yeah, maybe not, but, you know, at least you could be an actress who pretends to be a superhero. But no, you're not gonna have superhuman abilities. I mean, not to rain on your parade. No, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just it's like they see that, and at this age, even they even have sometimes, they're like, oh, I can be a magician. I can be a superhero, and you can see how much they get as young people from having those examples. And so I'm sure when people see you repairing a charging station or talk to you about, you know, troubleshooting a problem, it influences people every day, probably. So I really appreciate what you're doing. It was a really fun chat, really interesting, you know, sort of going into non-technical topics when we're so focused normally on technical issues. So it's quite fun and interesting, and just appreciate what ABB is doing. I think a Dutch person once said to me, you know, we work to live. We don't live to work. And I always, when I talk with ABB people, I just feel like this is a really nice company, a really cool place, and everybody seems pretty happy there. So it's got to be a nice place to spend your 9 to 5 or whatever it is in your specific field. So thank you for sharing with us. Have a good rest of the day, weekend, and we'll be in touch with your team about something else before long, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Clean Tech Talk. Join us next time to get your electric fix. If you would like to sponsor our podcast, send us an email at accounts@cleantechnica.com. That's accounts@cleantechnica.com. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.